Welcome to the Everyman Sports Podcast, the show for fans, by fans. No former pros, no so-called experts, just real passionate fans. From outside on a porch to inside a living room, in the parking lot of a stadium to the dining room table, friends and families chat about their teams, their games, and what makes them cheer. This is Everyman Sports.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Everyman Sports. My name is Chad. I'm the owner-operator of this podcast. Our phone number is 626-427-7678. That's 626-427-7678. You can also follow us on Twitter at Everyman Sports. It's been a long summer. Haven't been with you lately. As summer usually goes, some time off and even when you're hanging out, there doesn't really seem to be enough time to get all the stuff done.
Fun in the sun takes over.
That's true. I'm here with my dad. How you doing, Dad?
I'm doing great, son.
Well, the calendar has turned to September, so now we're starting to get back into the NFL, so we're going to get this going on a weekly basis, as I was saying.
Great.
Summer, a lot of stuff is going on. You don't get the chance.
It's baseball season.
That's true, and we'll start off with baseball season. The August has ended. September started. The Mets had 20 wins in the month of August.
That was the first since
a very long time. They did an excellent job, not only taking over the Nationals and the National League East, but also holding them off. Nationals are really starting to fall apart. They're starting to remind me of the 2007 Mets when they had that big collapse, games.
Well, they did get people back, right? They got Worth back. They got a few. It didn't seem to mix yet.
No, it didn't seem to mix, and just they've had difficulties. And now the recent thing was because they picked up Jonathan Papelbon to be their closer, and they moved their effective closer to the eighth inning role. And there was a big thing a couple days ago. Matt Williams, the manager,
yes,
he had Storn come in the eighth inning, and Storn gave away the lead, and the game was tied, and they went into the ninth, and he didn't bring in Papelbon. Now he's your closer. They were on the road. Current managerial style dictates you save your closer for when you have
but
the lead.
But he's a former player.
He is a former player.
So
but
he did instead.
Well, he did exactly what they should or what they are doing now, which is save your closer on the road for when you have the lead. You know,
smart.
Winning be damned. Well,
there
are positives to it, negatives to it, but the thing is that Williams is getting killed for not doing all these things and that he's being called a bad manager and bad bullpen.
Right. When, he doesn't throw any pitches
exactly.
Or swing at any, does he?
No, he's not on the field. He's just making honestly, the manager should be responsible for really what you can blame him on in is who he puts in the lineup and when he calls different, like a head coach. Really, a head coach, all they have to do is time management and substitutions, unless you're one of those NFL coaches that still calls the plays, even though
you're
the head
coach. Game time.
Yeah, all that stuff.
Well, I mean, game time is kind of like, to me, the classic role would be Tom Landry. So the practice is a classroom teaching, and, you know, of course, on the field, but he becomes a... it becomes a test, the game.
True.
So the teacher doesn't get involved with the students during test time.
Right.
We've done that in preparation to this test.
Right.
So, that's the view I take on that.
No, it's a good point. That's a good point. So right now the Mets have a 6-game lead over the Nationals. The National League is pretty much set up, although if, you know, everybody's talking about that the Nationals might, not likely, but might,
overtake the Mets.
Yeah, it's only 6 games, but I'm looking at the other divisions, and the Cardinals have a 6.5-game lead over the Pirates, and the Dodgers have a 6.5-game lead over the Giants.
Yep.
So I think it's fair to say if the Nationals are still considered in it, then you have to also consider those
other
two divisions.
But didn't the Dodgers, to get up that far, play heads up with the Giants and beat them recently?
Yes, okay. Yes.
So now that's coming up with the Mets.
Yes.
And after the Marlins, now they're going to play the Nationals. The Nationals sweep 3 or something. Now all of a sudden you're
back in
the
race. It's a 3-game lead, yeah.
Well, if it goes the other way, it's a nightmare.
True.
And the collapse you're predicting will occur.
Right. But it's funny, how quickly baseball turns. Not too long, only a couple weeks ago, people were saying that the American League's all locked up. It's the National League that has all the... But now it's flipped because the National League, aside from... where certain teams might go if a lead might be taken over or anything like that, The teams are set. It's just what position.
That's a good point.
Now in the American League, that's in flux because ever since the Blue Jays took over the Yankees and ever since the trading deadline when the Texas Rangers, who picked up Cole Hamels, when really thinking about next season and for the future, go get the ball. That's my son. So now when they got Cole Hamels, they're thinking about the future.
Right.
But as the future goes on, now they're starting to think, you know, that actually the Cole Hamels deal will help them, is helping them this year, whereas it should really be helping them for next year as well. So I thought that's kind of funny. Right now the Rangers have overtaken the Angels. The Angels how the mighty have fallen, have really fallen off the pace. They're on the outside looking in. They're 3 games back of the last wild card position, and so that's the Rangers. So they're 3 games behind the Rangers.
Okay, so is that because they've got the sticks and not the arms?
Like, part of it. Also, some of those sticks just aren't really working.
Because the Mets had the arms and not the sticks.
Right, but now it hasn't changed, but now the sticks have improved. If you want to talk about not just necessarily, you can't say it's the manager's fault. But Mike Socha still has that sort of old school Tony La Russa idea of the statistics and all that stuff.
Well, they're the Cardinals, so they can do no wrong.
Well, the Angels and the Cardinals are very similar in that way, yeah. I mean, Mike Socha runs that place. He really does. He pretty much ran Jerry DePoto out of Anaheim, Los Angeles, whatever you want to call it. So he's the one that Artie Moreno's going to kowtow to. So, and if Socha doesn't like the guy, he's gone. But right now, they're going to be, it looks like, not making the playoffs again. And the Rangers have just been surging, really.
Right.
And the Yankees, they're 4 games up, so it's likely they're going to stay in the race. It's just, are they going to be the wild card, or are they going
to
be
the division? Well, do they have enough to go the distance, the Yankees? Will they go deep in the playoffs?
I don't know about that starting pitching. I know everybody's talking about, because Sabathia is going to be out for a while.
Are they like the Patriots? They'll find a way.
They usually do. Honestly, the ones that usually find a way are the Cardinals. Like, if you talk about a team that usually finds a way, that'd be the Cardinals. So baseball is really coming down to it. I mean, the Mets are just absolutely on fire. There's all this talk about now with Harvey. Scott Boras sent an email to Sandy Alderson on August 29th that said, hey, look, we want a hard innings limit at 180 for my client.
Yeah.
And Sandy Alderson, to his credit, has come out and said, like, look, you could not have told us earlier.
Yeah, well, the way I heard it described, but it was by one of the announcers, of course, that they didn't really mention Boras. What they said was one doctor said 160 and the other said 180, and they're going with the 180.
Right.
So they don't want to feel like an agent is going to dictate to management, but we know that happens.
Right. Of course it happens. Now, here's the thing. As a fan, I am a Met fan, if I were to look at this from the outside, I would say a couple things. Number one, okay, we'll follow your limits. Can you give us a guarantee? Not a hometown discount, but when he becomes a free agent, can you at least give us a guarantee that you're going to push for him? Well, look.
It's not going to happen.
I know it's not going to happen. This is Boras. He always goes for it. But look, how about a little reciprocity? Look, we'll do this for you. No. You did this for us. I'm not saying, hey, sign it tomorrow. But the other thing is, if they're really hard up on this, now I'm thinking about it. The Mets are about to do a 6-man rotation if Harvey stays in the rotation.
Is he their ace?
1A.
Okay.
DeGrom.
No, but I'm just saying, let's say worst case scenario.
Right.
You know, he's not there. He wasn't, you know, I mean, or that, you know, he moves on after his free agency, which is very likely.
The Mets are very deep with their starting pitching.
Right.
But what I'm saying is that for this upcoming playoff run, the Met fan is nervous.
There won't be a limit then, will there?
Oh, yes, of course. It is 180 innings. That's the cap.
That doesn't include the playoffs. That's regular season.
No. They're including the playoffs in that.
No way.
If that were true, then how come Steven Strasburg didn't start in the playoffs?
Yeah, but guess what?
What?
That was a huge failure.
Yes, it was.
Who would do that again?
That's why
I can't see Harvey saying, I really believe that this hard cap is for the regular season, and I do not believe it's the playoffs. I think all bets are off the table. No competitor, and especially an intense competitor like Harvey, would ever have their agent say, no, you don't play in the playoffs.
Well, I agree with that. And
so I don't believe that that's
true. But that's why I like Sandy coming out and saying what he has said.
Yeah.
You know, basically saying, look, I wish you would have told us earlier. Yeah. You know, he's not saying yes or he's not saying no. And honestly, it'll be up to Harvey. Hey, you want to go more?
You know, we the fans should be talking about playoffs. They should talk about finishing the season strong.
But what I'm right, and what I'm saying about
get ahead of ourselves.
But this is going to dominate the Mets season for the rest of the time. Now, first of all, they can't do what the Nationals did. For the biggest reason, it's a different city, totally different way of life.
Harvey
in terms of the
will
press.
Be pitching in the playoffs. Don't worry about that.
But what I'm saying is the Met fan is nervous about the bullpen.
Yeah.
Now in I think it was 08 when the
get rid of Parnell, then you will have a lot less worries.
Right. 08, David Price was coming up with the Rays. He was their closer for the playoff run. Now he was a rookie that year. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is, you need an innings limit cap on it. Why don't you put him in the bullpen, be this dominant guy out of the bullpen just for a couple weeks, and then he's got all of the offseason.
No, that's very unfair to do to a starter. They shouldn't do that to anybody. I think it's sad that they might do it to one of these guys.
Well, somebody's got to be out of the rotation.
But,
well,
you know, this isn't plug in, plug out. You know what I mean? These aren't accessories.
True.
But they, you know, that's. Yeah, so I'm not down with that. But one thing I'm interested in, because the Braves have been a nemesis to the Mets forever, and now the very time the Mets surge, the Braves collapse. So, I mean, there's a story in that.
But yeah.
We're so preoccupied about what could be with the playoffs, we're not enjoying finally getting ahead of these guys and staying ahead.
But to be fair, they've been that way for – it'd be – if the Mets' success – went at the same time as the Braves' decline, happened at the same time. But the Braves have been in decline for the last couple seasons.
Yeah.
So it's almost like they're coming back down to us as we surge past them, as opposed to a 180 for both franchises. So,
but there's some similarity in decline.
Right. So it's going to be exciting for the rest of baseball. A couple races here and there, but we'll see how it goes.
Right.
But really what it's all about now is football. It's September.
Preseason is officially over.
We have to talk about it. Brady getting his suspension overturned by the courts. Now, don't forget, and it needs to be said, that the judge did not rule on his innocence.
Right.
He ruled on Goodell's power to arbitrarily.
O.J. Simpson was found not guilty, not innocent.
That's very true.
I got it. Good point.
That is true.
Right.
And with Brady, there's enough evidence. There is more likely than not, but there's enough evidence for the public opinion. And even though the players are happy that Goodell's power was taken back.
Right.
In the public eye.
Sure, it's a monopoly.
Right. But honestly, when it comes to time for the Hall of Fame voting.
Yeah, he's in.
Right, but what they've said is that pretty much, you know, him and Belichick are going to have to wait a year. They're not going to be first ballot. At least that's what's being rumored or sort of like whispered about. Like, hey, look, when it comes to that time for that, you know, they're going to get their comeuppance.
Well, the one
thing
that the NFL's good for, the fact that we're still talking about this throughout great baseball, we went through the NBA play, we went through all these things, hockey, and the NFL gets headlines.
Oh, NFL always gets
headlines. So milking this the way they did is amazing. As far as Brady, I mean, it's an old military saying, different spanks for different ranks.
Mm.
And there's no doubt of who he is and, you know, what he is and et cetera, et cetera.
Sure.
He gets a slap on the wrist.
You know, they do call him Teflon Tom now. That was
right.
That was a trending hashtag. And, you know, it fits. I mean, this is he's so smug. The whole franchise is just so smug.
Well, you know,
look, everybody, you always need villains.
Well, was Spygate real, or was that imagined too?
It was real. You could say it was blown out of proportion.
Why did Brady destroy the camera? I mean, it worked with the cell phone. You know, they learn as they go.
Right. But it's just the playing dumb.
Yeah.
Oh, no. We call him the deflator because he's losing weight. I've been going to the gym. I haven't said, hey, I'm deflating.
If you remember when it happened, what he looked like, what he was wearing. I remember he looked a little scruff. He looked like the bad boy jock.
Sure.
You know, the like, huh, what, where? And it was amazing, and he pulled it off.
Right. But this is the bad boy jock who goes to the principal's office, and he comes out going, they can't touch me.
They can't
touch me. I'll be on the field. They can't touch me.
No, they threw the phone away, but... Wasn't he, like, texting? So Isn't there another phone out there?
Well, he destroys all of them.
But his. But right. If you're texting me the ball boy and I'm the deflator.
Well, that's what they had.
Where's his phone?
Well, those are those phones. That's where they got the deflator stuff from. They wanted his text messages to say that.
But they have it because they have what he sent to the deflator.
But look, everybody, again, just I think OJ is the perfect example. No, murdering is not the same as on the field cheating. But you're found not guilty. But the court of public opinion,
with the union collective bargaining agreement, the CBA, it's not spelled out about these things.
No, like, it's not.
So now we have to work in a framework, right? You know, of this agreement. So Goodell to arbitrarily decide what's going to happen, and think of the Peterson, think of
Rice,
how many
Hardy.
Rice? Well, on and on and on. But all those weren't white. I mean, I hate to bring race up, but it's quite conspicuous.
As somebody who dislikes the Patriots and Tom Brady a lot, I would love for someone to point to Tom Brady as being a poster boy for white privilege and just have them deal with that fallout. But
that's not going to happen.
No, of course not, because he's Teflon Tom. It never happens. So.
Well, and they're athletes too, but I just love the soap. Somebody has to be involved in this soap.
You're right. So getting on to the actual game at hand.
Yeah.
So we have a couple of new coaches around the league. A couple, actually pretty much new first years and retreads.
Right.
So first.
Let's do the retreads.
You want the retreads. So Rex Ryan in Buffalo.
Right.
So they're talking up that defense. John Fox in Chicago.
Yes.
And Gary Kubiak in Denver. He goes back to his old stopping grounds.
He was
Elway's backup, and now he's technically he's under Elway.
Yeah,
he's Elway's the president, whatnot.
Right. You think he carries his duffel bag and
maybe not to that extent. Jack Del Rio in Oakland. And that's all the retreads.
Okay.
So of those retreads, who do you think will be the most successful this year? Not in the long run, this year.
Well, the other retread, Fox, did we mention Fox?
Yeah.
Okay.
So John Fox and Chicago.
What was the question? I'm sorry.
Who do you think will be the most successful this year? Not playoffs, not just who do you think would be the most successful? Rex, Fox, Kubiak, Del Rio.
I would say Kubiak. And maybe Fox, but Cutler is, an unrateable contender.
That's true. So all right. So I would agree with Kubiak because they're set up for success.
Now, who do I want to do the best? Probably of those Del Rio, because the Raiders, I think the league finally needs them to bounce back.
True. However, I have no problem
San Francisco
with
slipping. I think San Diego's better, but yeah.
Yeah,
that would be a good Raider Nation. They're good theater. They're good on they're good on TV. They're
true.
The fans are fan.
Oh, they're
fanatics.
They're fun to look at, but do the Raiders? We'll go off on a small tangent. Do the Raiders go to LA? What's your gut instinct?
Yes.
Does another team go to LA? Because they're talking about a similar
Rams.
To.
I
think the Rams. I would rather the Rams go than the Raiders, quite honestly.
Well, I'd almost say, it's hard to say, but I think you need some stability at some point. I mean, I remember when hockey was doing all kinds of movements and stuff, and it really didn't seem stabilizing to, as a league. So this is really, because they're a monopoly and they're a brand.
Yeah.
That's a tough one. Because they've done it before.
That's true. And so are the Rams.
Yeah,
remember, they start out in Cleveland.
That's what I'm saying. They're the suspects.
Yes, exactly.
Who can't pay their rent moves around.
Good point.
People.
No, you're right. You're right. But honestly, I'd rather see the Rams move than the Raiders. I think the Raiders should stay in Oakland. They need a new stadium. But, I think that'd be interesting. All right, so first-time head coaches this year. Dan Quinn, the Seahawks defensive coordinator.
He's at
Atlanta.
Atlanta, yeah.
So that's there. We have Todd Bowles for the New York Jets.
Right.
Former Cardinals defensive coordinator.
And former player.
And former player. Jim Tomsula, I think former offensive line coach for the Niners, if I remember correctly. Jim Tomsula. So those are the three new first-year head coaches, which is pretty small. Only three. Usually you'll have like four or five first-time head coaches, but there's actually a little bit more stability around the league in terms of head coaches.
So parity's working.
I think so.
So that's one thing. Can you give that to Goodell or no?
Well,
he needs something to hang on his.
Yeah, I'd say that. I'd say that's part of it.
And profits.
Well, of course, that always works.
It covers a lot of sins.
Right. Oh, and don't forget, anybody who out there who thinks that he's going to get fired, okay, if they break his contract, they owe him $150 million to break that contract.
That's great.
So, yeah. So he's not going anywhere.
A guy like him wouldn't resign. That's too much to give up, $44 million a year.
No. Unless something really bad. Unless they got a hold of his cell phone.
Now I'm going to give you this list of coaches.
Talking about new coaches, let's go to old coaches.
Yeah, these are old, yeah. We're talking Tom Coughlin being the oldest in the league at 69.
Yeah.
Right? And then we go down to, I'm down to 57. But listen, I'll give you this list and tell me if this is a quality list. Okay?
Sure.
And who maybe is the least successful. You have Tom Coughlin.
Mm-hmm.
Coughlin. Bill Belichick.
Yep.
Pete Carroll. Bruce Arians.
Yes.
He's 62.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Caldwell.
Mm-hmm.
The Lions, right? Fox with the Bears at 60. Mike Zimmer with the Vikings. Jeff Fisher. Andy Reid and Lovie Smith. That's a formidable list of
Is pretty formidable. I'll say right off the bat.
They're the oldest in the league.
Right. By default, you have to put Mike Zimmer down at the bottom because he's got the least experience out of all of those.
Okay.
Now, who would be one above him? That'd be tough because
I'm thinking who didn't go to a Super Bowl?
Bruce Arians,
right?
And that's it.
Well, no.
Who?
Fisher was in the Super Bowl.
Jeff Fisher, Titans.
They beat the.
No, they didn't. They lost to the Rams. That was
right.
But
they had that.
That was 1 yard short.
Yeah, but didn't to get there.
The Music City Miracle.
Yeah,
yes.
The Miracle. Yeah.
But
Lovie Smith lost
to the Colts.
Peyton Manning.
Yes.
And who was the quarterback?
Rex Grossman, who actually just got cut by the Falcons. Poor guy.
Right.
But Andy Reid's been to a Super Bowl. Jeff Fisher, John Fox, Caldwell, Bruce Arians has not been, Carroll, Belichick, and Coughlin. So really, right at the bottom, you have to put right
away. So those are all good coaches, right?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. So now, who on that list would you put next as far as a good coach? Like a guy like Sean Payton?
Yeah, Sean Payton's good. I'm trying to think of other coaches around the league that would, you could, Mike McCarthy in Green Bay.
Good one.
That one
jumps out.
That's
a good one.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, would you go to Steeler head coach?
Mike Tomlin? Yeah, you'd have to. Consistency?
Right?
It's amazing.
Huge.
They've only had four head coaches since
the
50s or 60s or something. That's ridiculous. No, not even.
That's because Noel just...
Noel took forever, and Coward did too. Don't forget, Coward was there for quite a long time. And now Tomlin.
I still picture that overbite.
Yes, that chin, the power of the chin. So let's talk about, because you like to have your surprise teams from each. So here's how surprise teams work. It's a team, one team from each conference that did not make the playoffs the previous year.
Yeah. So I want to go with some other teams, but I can't not take the Eagles.
Well, the Eagles
didn't make the playoffs at 10-6 last year.
That's hard, so hard to believe.
Redskins beat them, remember? Knocked them out.
That's right. Okay. So the Eagles,
it's hard to not,
Yeah.
But other possible ones?
Mm-hmm.
But probably, that would be I'm thinking the Vikings are a better team.
Yes.
Bridgewater.
Mm-hmm.
Improving young quarterback.
I still think they need more weapons on the offensive side.
They got Wallace. That's a deep threat.
I understand he's a deep threat, but he's been a deep threat in a couple places so far, and he has not quite gotten there. So,
well, until the man that's in fresh, I'm feeling a lot of things here.
Okay,
because they're surprise teams for a reason. If everybody agreed on it, you know, it'd be
true.
Mainstream thought.
So you like the Eagles, and that's one I would agree with. Absolutely agree with.
Right, so that's scary. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I know in the AFC, I know I've heard so many people say Dolphins. They're stout on defense, Dominican Sue, all these things. Tannehill, not that shabby. I'm thinking more like maybe San Diego.
San Diego would be a really good one.
You know, I can't take the Texans because, I mean, loving the coach, O'Brien. You know, the Hard Knocks thing was very favorable, right?
Right.
And but he doesn't. The quarterback's not there. You got to go with Days. The other now again, we said about the Eagles, but you know, I was thinking New Orleans maybe.
New Orleans could be up there
because Sean Payton, I think, is an excellent coach. Breeze is an incredibly accurate.
Yes.
And they. Which people do, as soon as a team wins a Super Bowl or close to it each year, they try to formulate their team towards that, like it's a new model.
Right.
You know, so they got Max Unger.
Yes, they improved their offensive line.
Well, yeah.
The loss of Jimmy Graham.
They got to run this. They got to change. They got to.
And honestly, you know, Jimmy Graham was not a blocking tight end. No. He might as well.
He was a wide receiver. Yeah, he wanted that kind of money.
He was going to be a wide receiver. He wanted to be a. But that didn't work out.
So.
I would say the Eagles over the Saints. Hey, look, they both
can, the Eagles look so.
We're just picking one.
Yeah,
we're just picking one that we think both could end up making the playoffs.
Well,
but these
they,
are just
they remind
one.
Me in a way of the Eagles with Chip Kelly in horse racing, where they've had a tightener. They go for the lead because they start out early, and then they just don't seem to hang on late.
Right.
You know, so that's conditioning, and they're rolling into form with him. In all fairness, it takes 3 years to really get your players in there.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
If you have some choice in the matter. And also, you know, and he's revolutionizing the league in offense, and if nothing else, everyone's trying to get plays off.
Very true.
Yeah.
Good point.
So, yeah. So enough about the Eagles.
For the AFC, I'm also kind of thinking the Chiefs.
Well, the Chiefs, they missed it last year. Oh, they faded horribly.
Yes, they did. 9-7 last year. But I think.
But they started out.
Well, don't forget they had zero touchdowns thrown to a wide receiver. And they got Jeremy Maclin.
And which is a pass-happy coach, by the way. Lost the Super Bowl because he fell in love with passing.
That's true, yes. So I wouldn't be surprised. So you're thinking Chargers or Texans, you're thinking?
Well, no. I mean, I'd love to say the Texans, but I can't because of the quarterback. And when you look back, it's playoff-driven. Look what happened to the Cardinals. I mean, they had a good quarterback. I mean, they have. And then he got hurt.
Right.
And then they were able to get into the playoffs because they really had a great start.
And that defense, too.
Well, yeah.
That especially helped. That's all.
Yeah, but for the most part, you need a quarterback. And Rivers is good.
Rivers is good.
And they got rid of Matthews. A lot of times, you know, you get rid of guys, you think, oh, they're not going to be as good like Dallas. So they lost their running back. Now Matthews.
Matthews is gone. Yeah.
You know, but I'm thinking, I didn't think the Giants would get better when Tiki Barber left.
True.
They won.
And they won two Super Bowls.
Yeah, okay. So, hello.
Exactly.
So, you know, sometimes that's a good sign.
Sometimes when you get rid of Barry Bonds, you win 3 World Series in 5 years.
There's something to be said for that.
That's absolutely true. You're right. No, you're absolutely right. All right, cool. So, yeah, we'll start week one. We'll preview week one on the next episode.
Yeah, I'd like to do that. I'd like to go down which each division and see who's better or worse.
Sure, we can do that. You want to do that right now?
Well, you can. Well, I was thinking I was kind of stuck on the NFC Central.
Right.
I thought every team was better and only the Packers were worse.
Yeah, especially now with you're talking about the NFC North. Now that Jordy Nelson's out. But, yeah, Bears might have improved slightly. Vikings, you think?
Because of the coach and the defense.
And you think the Vikings will improve and the Lions will improve. Yeah, but I think you might be right. Green Bay might be time for them to take a step back. Well, however, You never they it works out well for them. So
well, it does. But some and like you know, trees don't grow to the sky.
That's true.
You know, so some now in the NFC West. While we're on them, I mean, I'm thinking Seattle's not going to be as good if that safety doesn't sign, and you lost Max Unger. I saw last year when Unger was out, the team wasn't as good. They came back. They were better.
True.
So, I mean, those are really... And strength up the middle in all teams is important. The San Francisco, I mean, it looks like a nightmare.
They get worse. They were 8-8 last year. They have to get worse.
Well, they look highly disorganized. And I said about a year and a half or 2 years, I said, in 10 years, will we remember Kaepernick? And this is, to me, a do or die.
I forgot.
Well, okay.
Even this year, I forgot.
This could slip slide away on you. The That's Cardinals, right. We'll see what happens. You know, I love the coach out there.
11-5, that might be a, I don't know. That's tough to improve on 11-5.
Well, they lost some people on defense.
Right, true. And their defensive coordinator. Well, remember, Arians is an offensive coach.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
He's a great head coach.
And you got to think the Rams are going to get better. That actually might be the most well-balanced division.
And in the NFC East, just to finish that off, well, we didn't do the South, but the Redskins look like a nightmare.
They're bad.
Cousins would have to take a huge step forward for any change. The Giants, Coughlin, you know, at 69, we already mentioned that, you know.
They have to improve over 6-10.
He's the guy that gets accused that the game has passed him by more times in his career than any coach playing right now.
Right. But even after they said that, he still won 2 Super Bowls. They started saying that before he won his first.
Yeah, he's, you know, but they look like they're going to have problems in the, you know, in the secondary. They're looking shabby.
I agree.
And this Beer Paul thing where you blow up fireworks in your hands and then won't show your hand to your teacher.
Well, he's back. He got activated, so obviously he can't be that bad off.
Well, they haven't met with him yet.
Well, they activated him.
Yeah, but the season hasn't started.
No, I understand that.
But I'm thinking he comes in, he takes out his hand, he's missing one or two fingers. Nobody's seen this thing.
That's true.
And,
all right, good point.
And they're like, how are you going to hold on and tackle it? How are you going to...
Actually, the medical records, somebody... took a picture of his medical records and put that on the internet.
All the forms I've signed about HIPAA, I'm sure that's like taking a mattress tag off. They're going to come and lock you up.
I don't think they've gotten anybody in trouble specifically, but I think that it's a thing. So, all right. Well, so next week we'll talk. We're recording this over Labor Day weekend, so everybody have a happy Labor Day. Enjoy the end of summer as I am, and hopefully you
put
are
put something
as well.
On the grill.
That's
and enjoy.
Right. That's right. Dad, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right, Andrew, please, if you will.
This has been another episode of Everyman Sports. The show's music is Cold Funk by Kevin MacLeod and is licensed under CC Attribution 3.0. Everyman Sports can be found on Facebook.com, where you can like it to receive updates and news. Visit Everyman Sports in the iTunes Store to leave a review of the show. Also, visit everymansports.podbean.com directly to comment and support. Everyman Sports can be contacted directly at everymansports@gmail.com.